Growing up, church was never really my choice. For a long time, church felt like something part of my family's routine. We always went every week, so I just kind of grew up knowing that I had to go to church every Saturday. My parents moved to Riverside when I was 4, and my mom grew up Adventist, so she really wanted to find an Adventist church in Riverside. My parents were testing different churches in Riverside, and they stumbled across Lasier University Church. They mainly stayed because they found a few Filipino families that were also here, so it just made our move a little bit easier to adjust to. But somewhere along the way, this place became my own home. I've always been a really quiet person, and I've struggled a lot with social anxiety growing up, and I was the kind of kid who would sit in a room for hours without saying anything. And I definitely wasn't someone who liked being the center of attention. And I think because of that, I grew up feeling like I was easy to forget. So when I moved from a private school to a public high school, I remember wanting change so badly, and I really wanted a fresh start. But I also remember feeling completely overwhelmed by it. Around that same time, I started getting involved with the youth worship team. And this is always kind of funny to share, but a lot of people know me because I'm someone who sings up here, but before I ever really picked up a microphone, I was on the keys for a few weeks. But anyways, music was one of the first places where I felt like I belonged. Week after week, I kept showing up at church, not just because I liked the music and I liked playing keys, but because of the people and the friends that I made in the youth room, and they kept me sane during a season of my life where everything felt so uncertain and out of my control. Through Pathfinders, leadership, and praise team, this church slowly became my community. And when I think back on why that happened, I don't immediately think about sermons or an event. I think about the people. I think about my friends and my family. I think about a lot of the adults sitting in this room, like Pastor Ben, Pastor Devo, even Pastor Bev and Dr. Brand, and so many other adults who have consistently showed up for me, Gracie, and Calvin. Last year, I learned just how much that mattered when I left for college. UCLA is just such an incredible place, and it's a great school, but it's also huge. During my freshman year, I felt lonely in a way I had never experienced before. I remember walking through campus, surrounded by thousands of different people, and feeling like nobody ever really knew me. And if I'm being honest, part of me thought that was normal, because I had spent so many years believing that my absence wouldn't really affect anyone. But every time I came home and I went to church, that belief was challenged. People would ask where I'd been, they'd ask how school was going, and they'd tell me that they were happy to see me. And it reminded me that there were people who were here rooting for me long before I ever realized how much I needed them. And I learned something really important. We were never meant to do life alone. It takes all of us to take care of all of us. When Pastor Ben talks about adults investing in young people, I immediately think about the people in this room who did that for me. People who chose to care, people who showed up, people who helped a quiet, anxious kid find her voice. And the reason I'm still here is because this community has taught me something I spent years struggling to believe, that my presence matters, that I am known, that I am loved, and that no matter where life takes me next, I'll always have a home here.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. When I think about my story, I realize it began long before I was born. It began with two families on opposite sides of the world whose lives God quietly guided until they eventually crossed paths and created a home at Lasseter University Church. My dad's story began in Bellflower, California. He was the youngest of five siblings in a family that had no connection to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. One day, my grandmother opened a phone book, searched for a church near their home, and happened to choose a Seventh-day Adventist church. That simple decision, or perhaps the Holy Spirit's guidance, changed the course of our family's history. Growing up in a very conservative Adventist home was not always easy for my dad. Before his family converted, all of his older siblings had participated in city sports leagues, and he eagerly anticipated the day he would finally be old enough to play baseball himself. But shortly before that opportunity came, his family became Seventh-day Adventists, and because of the church's beliefs and practices at the time, he was no longer allowed to participate. As a young boy, he struggled with that change and often resented being Adventist. Yet despite his frustrations, he chose to be baptized at the age of 12. Looking back, he often says something that has stayed with me. You can run as far away from God as you can, but if you know the truth, it will keep you coming back. In 1972, as a seventh grader, my dad moved to La Sierra. He went to La Sierra Academy, then went to what was known then as Loma Linda University at the Riverside campus. He has stayed there ever since. My mom's story began thousands of miles away in the Philippines. She was the oldest of five siblings and was raised in a deeply rooted Adventist family. Her father was a small business owner and farmer who had been born into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My grandmother, however, was the only Adventist in her own family. After becoming a public school teacher, she remained steadfast in her faith and eventually led her mother and three sisters to become Seventh-day Adventists as well. Their example of commitment shaped my mom from an early age, and she attended Adventist schools throughout her childhood. In 2005, my mom moved to the United States with the help of my dad. Starting over in a new country was both exciting and intimidating. But when my dad brought her to Lasseter University Church, the move became easier because she found Calvin's parents, who she had been good friends with while in the Philippines. That same year, my parents were married. A year later, I was born, and my younger brother, Ty, followed the year after. So from the very beginning, my parents knew that they wanted to raise their children in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because church was simply a part of our family's rhythm of life.
My story in coming to La Sierra starts with my grandpa on my dad's side, who was the first in the family to move to America. 10+ years later, my parents immigrated from the Philippines to Chicago for a time, then Loma Linda because there was family there. I was born at Loma Linda Hospital after my parents moved to La Sierra because there was family there, or because they liked the community. The church is close, the Adventist community, the academy, and the university. They initially didn't know anyone in the community, but were referred to the Coronado neighborhood by a friend and liked the house and the proximity to an Adventist community. My whole family, grandparents on both sides, were Adventist, as well as uncles, aunts, and cousins, which of course creates the perfect environment to grow up Adventist. Going forward with this talk, I just wanted to stress our theme that belonging comes before believing. Community shapes belief and allows us to grow closer to God.
1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." I think my experience at this church has been much the same. I chose this church because in so many ways, this church chose me first. As a child, I never questioned whether I had a place here because the people around me made sure that I did. They didn't just welcome me, but they entrusted me with responsibility long before I thought I was ready for it. One of my favorite memories comes from Vacation Bible School. One summer, Michaela and I were given what we felt was a very important assignment. For those of you who do not know, VBS is a time for young adults to grow as leaders by helping guide the younger generation through the childlike faith of learning about Jesus. Usually, we had 5 or 6 children in our group, but this particular year, we were told that we were chosen to take care of one child, a special needs child. At the time, it simply felt exciting that someone believed that we were capable of such an important responsibility. But looking back now, I realized what a remarkable act of trust that was. That week became one of my favorite VBS memories because it taught me that being part of a church meant contributing to it.
Growing up at LSUC, I just wanted to briefly mention the adults and the people who made the biggest impact on me and made me feel like I belonged. I attended La Sierra Academy from kindergarten to third grade. Some prominent teachers were Mrs. Vaughn, Mrs. Akira, Mrs. A, Mrs. Schoonover, and Mrs. G. I grew up with close friends with Lance, Mario, Kai, Brandon, Bryson, Jaden, and Evan. I also met Karenna, Mia, Michaela, and Gracie. There are also some father figures like Mr. Robinson and Mr. Dixon. I always saw them as very tall, big fathers. Don't know why, but always grouped them with Dr. Brand, Mr. Maycomber, and Mr. Williams. And of course, the pastors, Pastor Ben, Pastor Devo, Pastor Icky, and the current pastoral team. But it all started from the foundation of Adventures and Vacation Bible School. From the foundation of Pastor Bev, Pastor Austin, Pastor Duguid, and Pastor Chris. After La Sierra Academy, I left in fourth grade to attend Lake Hills Elementary. Then fifth grade on in Riverside STEM Academy for middle and high school. For my first story, I wanted to talk about what I've learned from Pathfinders, particularly from Dr. Brand. From being in the same grade and friends with Karenna since kindergarten and eventually Nadia, especially through church and adventures, it wasn't until Pathfinders that I grew closer with Dr. Brand. The initial preconception I had of Dr. Brand was that he was, well, tall, intelligent, rather intimidating at first, but through further interaction and experience, I learned that his smile revealed his inner child. From drill team to camping and hiking trips, I've learned that Dr. Brand is not only a fantastic leader, role model, father figure, pathfinder director, and cardiologist, but that he still has the youthful, childlike spark within him that most adults have seemed to lose. From playful banter, jokes, and sparks of competition, I found a friendly, fatherly sort of relationship start to form. From Dr. Brand, I've learned the value of example, as well as the value of wonder, a characteristic that I vow to retain and urge everyone as well to retain as they grow older. I like to invent little sayings now and then to sum up what I've learned and what to carry forward. And for this I say, wisdom comes with age, maturity comes with growth, but wonder and curiosity are what allow us to retain our youth.
Pathfinders became another place where adults continually believed in me. Dr. Brand entrusted me with opportunities that challenged me to grow, from helping lead our organization in drill and marching, to taking on leadership responsibilities during camping and activities. And to this day, I can still hear Mrs. Caller reminding me to keep an eye on everyone when going out in a group without any adults present. She had immense trust in me and has helped me grow in confidence through leadership. Some of my favorite memories were never about earning honors or completing requirements. They were the moments in between. The early morning hikes that started before sunrise, the camping trips where we unexpectedly found deer in our camp, and the card games that somehow became fiercely competitive, and the countless summers spent learning, laughing, and growing alongside one another. Those memories remind me that community is often built in ordinary moments shared with extraordinary people. Pathfinders is an amazing organization that enables us young people to truly grow as leaders.
Now, I also wanted to talk about the track and what I've learned from Uncle Richard, Mr. Williams, and Don, Mr. Maycomber, Tristan's dad. Since we were kids, Gracie, Ty, Tristan, and I have gone to the track, otherwise known as that one grassy area right outside the university soccer field. We would always go in the afternoon after church, run around, play bocce, archery, catch, bike, and walk to the now dry pond near the cafeteria, in which Gracie fell in one time. Those times were always filled with fun and laughter, but also times of sternness and discipline. As I've learned from Uncle Richard, he is a person who understands the value of fundamentals in sports and in life. From him, I've learned that simple is best, and that I must always remember where I've come from, what I've gone through, and how to approach the future. Before I went to Yale, his words to me were, "You'll meet all kinds of people there, but don't forget who you are and your beliefs. Be better than them."
One Life became another place where I discovered just how deeply this church invests in its young people. I absolutely loved One Life, and I was heartbroken when it was canceled due to flash flooding during my senior year of high school. But the following year, I had the incredible privilege of returning as a counselor alongside Michaela for Cabin Equal. The girls that I were entrusted with, Nadia, Lucy, Esther, Morgan, and Amelia, were genuinely the best cabin group we could ever have. And they reminded me that the cycle of belonging continues when those who have been loved continue to love the next generation in return.
For my last short story, I wanted to reflect on what I've learned from Pastor Ben, Pastor Devo, and Pastor Icky in church and in praise team. From the foundation of Pastor Bev, Pastor Chris, and Pastor Austin, and now to Pastor Ben, Icky, Devo, and the current pastoral team, I've been blessed to have grown in the presence of remarkable role models. Pastor Ben being the closest link between the youth and the church. Constantly providing space in the youth room, I created fond memories, eating and sharing in conversation before worship, as well as playing in praise team. I remember Coach Pastor Ben during senior year of high school when Ty and I were on the same team. Melvin too. I think Ty dropped 50, but according to Gracie, it was 63. And we were just a great team. Pastor Icky, also constantly interacting with the youth, once asked me during a youth basketball night at the La Sierra Academy gym, which do you love more, basketball or guitar? To which I replied, basketball. Put simply, guitar is my piece, while basketball is my spark and what excites my heart. Pastor Devo, sports coach and praise team manager, I can always rely on to manage and balance sound and properly hear myself as I play or talk, from the cajon to the bass to the guitar. I truly think it is in the little, brief, yet genuine interactions between the pastors that I have found nurturing and gratifying growing up in La Sierra University Church. Particularly during the events and the church, the events the church hosts, from hiking outings to youth sporting events, the active participation of the pastors allows us youth to truly grow closer to them.
Since I was around 5 years old, my mission and dream was to grow up and to help people. Growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, especially a community-driven church like this one, makes me think that my steady dream from so long ago was not mere coincidence. I believe it is God's calling for my life, nurtured through the love, encouragement, and example of service that I found here. I'm so grateful that my parents decided to raise me in Seventh-day Adventism, but I'm also grateful for the adults at La Sierra who believed in me, entrusted me with opportunities to grow, and faithfully invest in the person that God was shaping me to become. As I reflect on these experiences, I realize that none of the moments I treasure most are about programs, events, or activities. They're about people. They're about the adults who consistently noticed me and believed in me and trusted me. Their commitment taught me something that I did not fully appreciate until I became older. Belonging is not something we simply feel. It is something that someone chooses to give us. The adults of this church gave me that gift, and because they did, this church has never simply been the place I attend on Sabbath. It has always been home.
I will always be indebted to my parents for bringing me to Sabbath school, church, adventures, and enrolling me in La Sierra Academy as a child. They chose and created an environment where I would grow close with friends spiritually and interpersonally. While finding my love for sports in the baseball, flag football, soccer, and basketball leagues in La Sierra and Loma Linda, I also found friends and community that paved the way for the sense of belonging that I naturally developed. And I'm thankful that it wasn't just the parents, but everyone who helped us along the way. Father figures, friends we grew up with, teachers, and pastors. It is the entirety of the people who have impacted our lives that we have grown up to be the people we are today. Remember, belonging comes before believing. Community shapes belief and allows us to grow closer to God. Thank you.
It is a blessing to grow up in a community where you belong. You go from cheesy photos and cheesy, corny moments, just like this, to amazing trips as a high schooler and making big decisions in your church community. And then you go through moments where you're celebrated, big celebrations for you as you grow up. And then you reach these moments maybe where you have to leave for a little bit, but you always come back home. And it's been so special to see them grow. Can we give them another round of applause? Thank you, Gracie, Calvin, and Michaela. Please rise with me as we hear the word together. Our text of focus, just as I follow up, is from Joshua chapter 4. And the word says, "He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" The word of God. You may be seated. We find ourselves amidst the conquest of Israel post-Exodus. The 40 years in the desert has concluded. Moses, their once liberator and leader, has died, and now Joshua is leading the people. And he's been constantly reminded by God to be strong and courageous. So he does his best to lead well from his revelations with God. And as they approach Jericho, between them and the land that's promised is the River of Jordan. Despite having crossed a body of water before, the people are now facing a flowing river instead of a stormy sea. A river that in this particular season was at its highest and at its strongest. But as we see time and time again throughout the narrative of the Israelites, there is no obstacle that is too big for God. So through Joshua, God gives instructions for people to follow the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant through the river. They are promised that the river will stop flowing, making a path for them the moment the priests step into the water. And this came to pass. The river stopped, and once again, all the Israelites passed on dry ground where water should have been until the last person crossed. This is a powerful story. And you see, Joshua and this group of Israelites are a new generation of people. Many of them weren't in the trenches of slavery. Many of them did not see the plagues or witness the splitting of the Dead Sea. And yet, here and now, they experience their own miracle moment, their own affirmation of God's presence, support, existence, and care. And while they're having their own moment, Joshua does something profound. In verse 20 of the same chapter, it says, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan." Joshua sets up these 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, but he doesn't do this just as a sign of what God has accomplished with them. He does this as a guide to the conversations and interactions to the next generation. Joshua knew that he and his people played a role in the continued understanding of the goodness of God, that their story needed to be passed on. But we need to pay attention to this. See, Joshua says, when they ask, what do these stones mean? Though Joshua was confident that the conversation would happen, the next generation would only be able to ask this question if they were brought or walked with to Gilgal. Only if the people who had gone before would be committed to those who walked after them. See, this journey of this question starts with the commitment of the ones who came before. And when I think of many of our young people in our community, when I see Gracie, Calvin, and Michaela, and many others, and when I hear their stories and see their commitment to this place, I am proud to know that there were adults who committed to them and were present when they asked, what do these stones mean? I had the pleasure of witnessing Pastor Devo give a blessing for a baby dedication at the child's first birthday. He shared this stat that came from Fuller Youth Institute, and it's a really profound thing, and it says, young people need at least 4 to 5 caring adults as a safety net besides their parents, coaches, teachers, relatives, volunteers, etc. In the same conclusions, these youth specialists suggest that healthy teens are part of an interdependent community and know that God is loving, and that youth gravitate to the oldest person who takes them seriously. And this is where we are all needed, every single one of us. If all are welcome here, it takes all of us to do the lift. Whether you have everything in order or are struggling to get by, we need you. Whether your family is nuclear or blended, we need you. Whether your kids have graduated already, we still need you. It takes all of us to take care of all of us. Explaining the stones is not just a task for the parents of a household. Everyone who has gone before has something to give to the next ones. Stories, perspectives, time, and presence. This is the work of explaining the stones. We don't do this to increase numbers or to increase attendance. We do this so that our young people will know that these walls are their home, that these pews are their place to be. This word is not just for our elders and our sages of our community, but it's for the young adults, and it's also for the youth. We all have something to give to those who come up after us. Our stories and presence are gifts to those who come after. We have things in our lives, epiphanies that we have made, advice that has redirected our life, encounters with God that are etched into our minds, and the Holy Spirit wants to partner with these things so that we can change the lives of people who ask, what do these things mean? But the passing on of things can only happen through presence. When we choose to come close instead of being distant, see, when we're distant, It's very easy for us to create reasons why a generation is lacking, and we only see the things that we define as negative. You know, I think about the church I grew up in, and I think about my mother. We had these things called youth days every few weeks, every few months, once a month, maybe once every 2 months, we had a youth day. And on these youth days, the young people like to bring drums. And I don't know what type of church you grew up in, but at my church, that was a no-go. But we did it because it was our youth day. And so when those drums came on, I remember seeing my mom sitting in the back just shaking her head, disappointed. Like, these young people don't know what's going on. But she would make these comments all the time to us when we're driving home. Yet she always loved to stay for AY. Yet she always stayed after church and wanted to hang out with young people. Yet she always invited young people to our house to eat lunch, etc. And so while she made these comments, she did not let her comments keep her distant. She chose to come close and be present with people. See, when we choose to be present, when we decide to participate in the storytelling and commitment to those who come after us, it shifts us. It shifts us from annoyance to understanding. It shifts us from distance to intimacy. It shifts us from independence to interdependence. And mercy, it shifts us from arriving at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday to 9:30 a.m. That's the shift. And this is not a request to take a pay cut or to pursue a profession that's on this stage. I'm asking that we all take ownership in explaining to our young people what these stones mean and in all the various ways that this church offers. There are beautiful and sacred things that are disappearing because we're losing people who are willing to explain the stones. We don't need you to be perfect to care for the next generation. We just need you to be present. I'm thinking about why I also find myself in this church. I think about why, after all these years, beyond that this is my profession, you know, I think that if I wasn't working as a pastor, I would still find an intentionality to commit to the participation of a church. I think it's because I had a youth pastor who cared a lot about me. I had this youth pastor who saw me, though I was a lot taller than him. He always found time to show up for me at my public school games. He invited me out to connect. He invited the youth into his home. And years later, he actually officiated our wedding. He was there for me. But it wasn't only because of my youth pastor. It was because of things like Pathfinders. It was because of people who became older siblings to me. People who became aunties and uncles, even though there was no blood. It was trips away from cities. And yes, Dr. Brand, I went on a lot of camping trips, I promise. It's not something that I don't know how to do. People who would call me out when I was acting crazy, and a community who would celebrate me. It was also a church who trusted me to share my gifts during the church service. And that even motivated me to find ways to give back when I got older. It takes all of us to take care of all of us. And when we do, when we decide to be present and explain the stones to those who are sprinting behind us, more people will find belonging in this place for years to come. Amen.